What is the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, and how did it come about at the federal level and also here in Arkansas?
PUA was created as part of the CARES Act, which was the biggest of the big relief packages passed by Congress in the spring as a response to the pandemic and the recession that followed the wave of initial shutdowns and closures in March. The CARES Act is a huge piece of legislation. PUA is only one piece of it. I should say, PUA does a few different things, but for our discussion here, the thing that's most important is that it created a sort of parallel unemployment system, unemployment insurance system. And that's important because traditional unemployment insurance really has not evolved along with the economy, evolved along with the workforce over the past several decades. Traditional unemployment is meant to provide assistance to workers who've lost their jobs, who are employed at a company. And by employed, I mean they're official employees, they receive a W-2, their employer pays money into the unemployment insurance system. And who's left out by that? Well, it's people who work for themselves, who are self-employed. It's independent contractors or gig workers. That could be anything from someone who, mows lawns for a living to an Uber driver to someone who owns a restaurant. So lots of situations people would not be covered by traditional unemployment. And the spring you had a situation where people were out of work in tremendous numbers. And so this system was set up to sort of provide emergency relief to folks in those situations.
So the funding for the PUA system is completely from the CARES Act. Is it the funding both for the payments and for the state to implement the system to disperse them?
So the first part, yes, in short. And PUA is federally funded completely. It's not funded by employer payroll taxes in the way that traditional unemployment at least partially is. The implementation, is a little more complicated, I believe. So I know that there's federal money there to assist with that. But the agencies at the state level that are doing this, that are putting in place assistance for people to file these PUA claims, receive money, those are the state workforce agencies that administer the traditional unemployment system. So in Arkansas, that's the Arkansas Department of Workforce Services.
Right, and I think that's one of the main points of your story is that this, like many other things, not just specific to the pandemic, but really in the Trump administration as a whole, a lot of things are falling on the state to implement, and certainly the PUA system is no exception. And it's also sort of a huge added thing that the state government has to contend with in a time where they already have to contend with a lot. So I guess if you could just walk us through how Arkansas implemented its PUA system. I know there was a bit of a rocky rollout at first and that the rollout itself was also delayed quite a bit.
The traditional unemployment system has been, it's not very well equipped to handle this this massive new program that, something like this probably should have been created years, if not decades ago. And there have been reforms proposed to the traditional unemployment system over the years. But it's a good example of how, the government, both at the state and federal level, sort of is responding to a crisis on the fly rather than acting more proactively. So the CARES Act passed in March, and states were rushing to get this program up and running. Arkansas was a bit later than some states, but it had its website online by early May. But there were a couple of pretty significant technical stumbles from the beginning. And some of that has to do with the fact that Arkansas created a new system, a new technical system, a website portal from scratch, entirely distinct from its traditional unemployment claims filing system. That was done, over the course of April, a vendor, ProTech Solutions in Little Rock, created this website. And in the middle of May, it was discovered that it had a severe security flaw that left users' personal information, including bank account information, vulnerable to someone with a little technical knowledge to mine potentially the website for people's personal information. So the state had to shut the website down, make some repairs. There's an ongoing lawsuit from some claimants saying that the state, well, actually the lawsuit is against the vendor rather than the state, but it's saying that the website, you know, was designed so badly that it amounts to negligence, that that their personal information was left exposed. That was a stumble that I think is unique to Arkansas, as far as I know. But there have been problems all across the country with the rollout of PUA claims. And most recently, over the summer, there's been a big increase in identity theft. This is not related, we think, to the security issue with the website. It's more just that there, with a big new system like this, and a lot of money out there that the federal government is trying to provide for people, there's an opportunity for graft. And these are not individual people for the most part, at least that's my understanding, that are filing these fraudulent claims. It's more organized crime. I mean, with the requisite identifying information, social security numbers and so on, someone who knows the system well could file a tremendous number of claims in the names of unsuspecting Arkansans and reap benefits as a result.
Right. So it really is a legitimate fear and a concern to the state. It's, you know, you could draw the parallel between maybe the vendor dropping the ball at the outset of the program, and then maybe the state overcorrecting a bit to, you know, crack down on fraud. But it really is a legitimate concern that these people really are trying to defraud the program, right?
Yes. There are definitely very legitimate concerns about fraud, and it's not unique to Arkansas. I mean, California shut down its entire PUA system for a couple weeks fairly recently to address all of these, you know, allegedly fraudulent claims. I mean, that being said, it's very hard to know what the state is actually doing here. They have been not very forthcoming with information, partly because they say they don't want to give details about their fraud review process to give, as I understand it, like hints to potential criminals about how to navigate around that process. But I mean, that's kind of a funny answer because then, I mean, how do we know whether what the state is doing actually makes sense? And I mean, at root, you know, the point of the program is to get money into people's pockets who desperately need it. And there are a lot of those people out there in the state right now, people that have lost their jobs and are hurting financially. So, I mean, it's true that the state is, you know, trying to address these legitimate claims, but it also is having to walk a really delicate balance here between trying to prevent fraud and being overly harsh and basically preventing legitimate claims from getting through. And there are a lot of very, very frustrated people out there in the state who say they've been trying to get money that they're rightfully owed for months now, and they're struggling and their families are struggling and they still see no relief in sight.
So absent what the state says are things that they look for to flag potential fraud, what are some of the common reasons or themes that you heard from the people you spoke with as to why they were flagged for potential fraud?
It sounds like it's a lot of different things. I mean, I talked to several, you know, five or six different people, not all of whom made it into the story, and everybody's situation is a little different, you know. There's so many different situations that in people's lives when it comes to employment. I mean, one woman I spoke to, for example, she lived just immediately across the state line in Pineville, Missouri. I mean, she said that her house is close enough to see Arkansas from her front porch. And all of her clients from her business, she runs a business as a dog walking service. They're all in Benton County. So she makes her money in Arkansas. She pays her taxes in Arkansas. And she initially filed for unemployment in Missouri because that's where her house is, but was told you need to file in Arkansas because that's where, you know, your income is. She did so, but it appears that her claim was still flagged because her residence was out of state, you know, despite her sort of best efforts to do the right thing there. Part of the problem here is the system seems to be so backlogged that it takes forever to sort through these, you know, through a situation like this that seems like fairly easy to correct. So, you know, it took her about a month to get somebody before she got a call explaining what was going on. When she tried to clear it up, she was told, well, you'll just have to wait. We're too busy to fix it right now. So wait till you get another call. And then she eventually was contacted and told to come into the office, like her local unemployment office, and provide some information. Once she did, she said she got her claim figured out, you know, within by that evening. That's a case where, you know, she, once she provided the information, it was very clear cut that, that she was, she seemed to be in the right, but, you know, she had to wait weeks, months to get in the door to provide that explanation.
In your piece, you mentioned some efforts the state is undertaking, mitigation efforts, like sort of this mass clinic, I guess you could call it, that they held, essentially where all these people came together and just sorted out all their issues with the program all at once. So I guess what is the state doing to mitigate this? And have you noticed that once people have settled their fraud issues, are they getting the backdated payments that they missed while their claims are on hold?
Right. So to the second part, it seems like for some people, yes. You know, for some people, once they get their issue sorted out, once they can, you know, talk to a real person on the phone, so to speak, or face-to-face, then they get their money and it's sorted out fairly quickly. For other people, it's more complicated than that. And I talked to a different woman who said that she, you know, her claim is actually denied. So not flagged for fraud, but denied, though she's unsure why. And so she's trying to go through this appeals process. So that itself also seems to be facing a big backlog. Now, as you mentioned, the state has held several in-person sort of mass events to try to clear up some of these issues. I was told by Workforce Services they've hired quite a few new staff and have trained existing staff on how to handle these issues. And so every workforce center in the state should have somebody there who can help claimants in person. But, I mean, one of the more disturbing things that I, to me, when I was inquiring about this story, was that when I asked Workforce Services for, I mean, the number of claims that have been actually found to be fraudulent and the number that have been, you know, flagged for suspected fraud and subsequently released, they could not give me a number for either one. So that makes it hard to tell what's the state's ratio here for determining which claims are good and which claims are bad. You know, we have no way of gauging out of a certain number of claims how many instances of fraud the state has actually found. And that makes it, again, hard to actually judge them on whether they're doing a good or bad job.
So currently there's a different sort of system in place right now for unemployed gig workers. What exactly is that? What options do they have now? And could they still potentially face these same pitfalls that we've seen in the PUA system?
Sure. So I think so. I mean, I think that there's definitely still, you know, people are still having trouble both filing new claims and running into problems with existing claims. And I'm still trying to report on this. So, you know, I encourage people to get in touch if the Arkansas Nonprofit News Network, if they have had especially, you know, egregious issues with the system. So as far as the money that's available right now, it's a little complicated and I don't want to talk too far out of my league or out of my depth here, but so there's some confusion about the PUA versus the, you know, the $600 amount that the federal government was giving earlier in the year. That was an amount that was sort of a supplemental amount that was given to both traditional unemployment and PUA claimants on top of a sort of base amount that they might get from the state. So that $600, that was, you know, a huge help, a huge amount of stimulus money for households and for the economy as a whole. It ran out in the middle of the summer. And then there was sort of an additional $300 a week that was tacked on at the end of that. That was provided through FEMA and some other sources. And that, it's a little hard to pin this down about whether that's all gone, because, you know, people can backdate claims. And so that money was available for weeks, you know, earlier in the fall, but people are still receiving perhaps payments for those weeks, even those weeks are in the past now. But so there's all of this sort of federal bonus, I call it bonus money, extra money, that's been provided for people that are suffering. But then there's the underlying, I mean, there's money that's provided for PUA on an ongoing basis that should still be available at least until the end of the year. To answer your question a little more succinctly, the federal government provided all of this relief money originally in March, and there hasn't been any federal action on a stimulus bill since then. And when it was created in March, it was, you know, envisioned to run through the end of the year. So several of these supplemental unemployment programs are expiring at the end of the year, and Congress has yet to act on anything that would take its place after that. So there's a lot of anxiety out there, and not just among the unemployed, also among economists about what will happen when that stimulus money runs out and whether after the election, I mean, Congress will be able to pass anything to provide relief on an ongoing basis afterwards.